Welcome to Connecting with the Word, where the uncompromised Word of God is taught so that people can grow into the image of Christ for His glory. We invite you to visit wordfellowship.org for more information. Join us now for this week's message.
Would you have your Bible, look with me, if you would, into Psalms 37, the 37th Psalm. While you're finding Psalms 37, Lamentations 3, 22 and 23 out of the English Standard Version of the Bible says this, Lamentations 3, 22 through 23. You're looking for Psalms 37? I'm just going to read this to you. It says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end, and they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." The love of God, the mercy of God, the faithfulness of God. Hallelujah. Now we're coming to the end of a year, 2021. Hard to believe. The next service we will have will be in 2022. I've encouraged people through the years to write down some things, to have your list of things that you're believing God for. Write some things down. Write them down on a piece of paper. I'm believing God for this. I'm believing God for this. I'm expecting this. Somebody once said, if you don't expect anything, you'll get what comes. You're not expecting anything, that just anything's going to happen. But I want you to be stretching your faith. I want you to be stretching yourself to believe God for more. Believe God for healing. Believe God for prosperity. Believe God for whatever you need in your life. Believing God in your life. So we want to talk about, what do you want for 2022? What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? If somebody came up to you and said to you, what do you want for 2022? What would you say? Would you have to think about it? Well, at this point, you may have to. But I want you to come to the place that you don't have to think about it. That you say, this is what I'm believing God for. This is what I'm believing God for 2022. This is a time really from Christmas till we come into the new year that we should be reflecting on what we were believing God for this past year. I believe in God for this. I was believing God for whatever you were believing God for. That you come to that. But now we're coming to a new year. So we're going to expect some things to happen. Going to expect some good things. There's a minister that made this statement, and he said this, "I'd rather shoot for the stars and miss it by a little bit than to shoot for nothing and make it." I'd rather shoot for the stars and miss it by a little bit than to shoot for nothing and make it. In other words, you need to be believing God for some things. You say, well, I believe God for some things before, and nothing's changed, nothing's happened. I still have the same thing that I used to have. Don't quit. Don't give up. The mercy of God is here. The faithfulness of God is here. The love of God is here today. So we're trusting Him. We're not trusting natural ability. We're not trusting people. You know, you'll find out in life people will fail you. How many of you ever had somebody fail you? If you're breathing here, you've had somebody fail you. But we're not looking to people. We're looking to God, our God, the great and awesome God, the God of Psalms 91 that the psalmist said, "I'll say of the Lord, He's my refuge. He's my fortress. He's my God. It's in Him that I do trust. It's in Him that I trust. I trust in Him." So Psalms 37 and verse 4, Psalms 37:4 is a scripture that is looked at from different angles, different perspectives of how people would look at this. And there's actually two ways, and there may be more, but two basic ways of looking at this verse. Psalms 37:4. "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart." Now, many people look at this verse and they look at it saying that if we would just delight ourselves in God, if we delight ourselves in the things of God, you know, somebody has said before, why sometimes are the things of God so hard? It takes time to pray. It takes time to read your Bible. And how many of us sometimes when it comes time to pray or to read our Bibles, we're like, ugh, come on now. Well, it says, delight yourself in the Lord. So it's carrying a thought behind of all the things of God. We ought to have a delight. We got to go to church again? Or do we say, praise God, it's time. It's time to gather with the saints of God. Or do we look at, oh my God, you mean again? You mean I got to go again, mama? Or do we look at it and we're saying, praise God, glory. I get to go and fellowship with the saints of God. I get to go and sing. I get to go and be ministered to. He said, delight thyself in the Lord, and he'll give thee the desires of thy heart. That delighting in God, he said, he'll give thee the desires of your heart. The other side of this is, that many look at, is if you'll delight yourself in God, God will place his desire on the inside of you. And it's like one man made a statement years ago. It just, you know, there's certain things that impact you, certain things that you hear that stick with you. And this one minister made this statement. He said, you know what happens with many Christians is we got a plan and we ask God to bless it. Instead of getting God's plan that's already blessed. In other words, we go to God and we say, God, I'd like to do this and I just ask you to bless it. Instead of waiting on him to get his plan, because his plan's already blessed. So delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give thee desires of thy heart. The second way, once again, is delighting yourself in God, and God begins to place things on the inside of you. There's things that have been placed on the inside of me, just like there's things that will be placed on the inside of you. I didn't want to be a minister. I wasn't asking God for to be able to stand in this place. I'd have been satisfied just helping in the church, just being somebody that helped wherever and doing whatever. But when God dropped that on the inside of me, I know where I was at, where it happened. I know exactly where I was at when it dropped on the inside of me. I was praying in an Assembly of God church in San Marcos, Texas. It was customary for people to come to the front and pray. I went to the front to pray just like everybody else, never expecting what was going to happen was going to happen. But when I began to pray, I heard these words on the inside of me. This night have I called you to preach. I've called you to preach my gospel. I've called you to preach my whole gospel. Those are the words I heard. And from that point on, it's like, how many of you remember the old, we still have them, like the Coke machines where you drop money in? Or you think about the old telephone where you would drop money in, the payphone. How many of you remember a payphone? I must say, payphone. And you could hear that money just ding. And that's what happened. When that call, something went, and I heard it on the inside of me. And I knew from that point what I was to do. I'd been searching. I'd been doing different things. Many of you have searched. Many of you have done different things. And I'm not saying or telling you that God's going to call everybody, because God doesn't call everybody to the ministry. But God does call us to accomplish things for him. And as you're there and you're waiting on God and you're rejoicing in God, delighting yourself in God, it'd be like, and you know why you were born. You know why you're here. You know what God has called you to do. So he said, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give thee the desires of your heart. Look with me, if you would, into Mark, the 10th chapter. Mark chapter 10. What do you want? What do you want? I said, what, is God really concerned about what I want? Well, we can see some scriptures that tell us that he is concerned about what you want. He is concerned about what is it that you want. So in Mark 10 and verse 46, it says, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude of people, blind Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he'd heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still. Well, when we see Jesus stood still, that means that before that, Jesus was moving. Now, many believe that what was taking place here, that Jesus, like many of the teachers, before they would come into town, they would hear a teacher's coming. It hit this point. They probably heard it was Jesus. That they went out of the city and they would be walking back into town with him. And the teacher here, Jesus, would be instructing them. That's why, while he's talking, Bartimaeus is crying, "Jesus, Jesus!" Well, if you're wanting to hear Jesus, or if you're wanting to hear somebody else, you'd be quiet. Have you ever been wanting to watch something on TV and your kids are, "Arr, arr, arr, be quiet"? No parents here have ever said that. No parents here have ever told your kids, "Be quiet." So they said to blind Bartimaeus, "Be quiet." But he wouldn't be quiet. Jesus stood still, called him, and he said unto him in verse 50. He casting away his garment, rose, came to Jesus. Verse 51, Jesus answering and saith unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" In other words, what do you want? Now, what's wrong with this man? What's wrong with him? He's blind. And Jesus asked him, "What do you want? What is it that you want?" This man could have said all kind of things. He could have said, "I don't have any food, Jesus." He could have said, "I need some help with my rent, Jesus." He could have said, "I need some new shoes, Jesus. I need some new clothes." Jesus asked him the question, "What do you want?" The man said, "I want to see. I want my sight." So what do you want? In studying this, I was thinking about how that Jesus is asking us here this morning. What is it that you want? What do you want in life? What are you expecting this next year to be? What are you expecting it to be? Now, you can be looking in the natural. You can be looking at the natural realm and say, "Oh, this next year is going to be bad, bad." People are already saying it. Going to be bad. No. I'm saying, according to what the Word of God said, I'm blessed coming in, I'm blessed going out, I'm blessed in the city, I'm blessed in the field. Everything I put my hand to is blessed. I'll prosper. Glory to God. But people say, "Well, that can't happen." Who said it can't happen? Who said that? Well, the news said, No. What does the Bible say? In all of this situation, Jesus asked this man, "What is it that you want?" This man could have once again said all kind of things, but Jesus brought him to a point of faith. What is it that you want? And that's why I believe it's important at this time, as we're going to enter into this new year, that you start declaring some things that you want. This is what I'm believing God for. This is what I'm believing God. This is what I'm expecting. This is what I'm expecting in my family. This is what I'm expecting in my finances. This is what I'm expecting in my body. I said, "That can't be real." Why did Jesus ask the man, "What did he want?" Why didn't Jesus just pray for him? Jesus was bringing the man to a point of exercising his faith. And that's what I want to do to you this morning, is bring you to a point of where you're going to exercise your faith. This is what I'm believing God for. This is what I'm believing God for. And you need to write some things down that you're believing God for. And you need to keep that in front of you so you keep seeing it over and over and over. This is what I'm believing God for. And that when we come to this time of the year, that we may look and we may see some things and we say, "You know, this is what God did for me. This is what God did for me. Praise God, I had some prayers answered. I had some prayers answered." I know there's many of you that in this church, that this last year, you've had some prayers answered. You've had some things that you were believing God for, and things that it looked like it was unable to happen. Impossible. But God's done some great things. Has he done everything? Have we seen everything we want to see? No, we haven't. We haven't. But yet, we've seen some things. Seen that God's proved that he is faithful. Look with me, you're right there in Mark 10. Look in Mark 11. Verse 24. I want you to remember, as we're looking at this, you cannot override other people's will. Sometimes people believe in God for things that believe and pertain to other people. You can't override somebody else's will. Can't override other people's will. God created every one of us with a will, and I can't override it. Now, you could say, you know, I'm going to start praying this year that Pastor Trey will start wearing brown suits. I want him to start wearing brown suits. Well, you know, I got a brown suit. Notice I said A. I got a brown suit. But I don't like brown suits. I like blue suits. Got several blue suits. I like blue. You say, well, I'm going to start praying that he'll wear brown. You're wasting your time. Because I got a will. And I get up in the morning and I look in there and said, I'm going to choose a blue suit. I got them all together. I try to rotate them and I go back to blue. Those brown ones just keep getting pushed in the back. Well, what am I saying? You can't override your will on me. There was a person that went to another person. They had a certain vehicle. And this person said, man, I really like that vehicle. So they came up and they told this other person that had the vehicle. They said, according to the scripture, Mark 11:24, I'm believing God that you're going to give me this vehicle. The person that had the vehicle told him, said, you know what? You're not getting mine. You want one? You go buy it. You go buy one. I bought it. You go buy your own vehicle. I'm not giving it to you. I just want you to understand that principle is that you can't override your will on somebody else. Mark 11, verse 24 is a very powerful verse. Holds a lot of truth to it, especially concerning believing God for the unseen. It says in verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire. Now notice the word you desire. Whatsoever things, well, it says ye, but we would say you. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Notice the word you. What you want. Not you, what you want for somebody else, but what you want. What you desire, when you pray, he said, do what? He said, believe. In other words, the Bible's telling you, you got to believe before you see. Somebody said, if I could see it, I'd believe it. Ooh, if I could feel it, I'd believe it. No, he said, you gotta what? You gotta believe it before you see it. You gotta believe it before you feel it. You gotta believe it before anything ever happens or changes in your body or in your life or in your finances. You've gotta believe it first. Somebody said, what are you gonna receive? People say, well, they say desires. We're gonna get our desires. He said, we're going to get what we prayed for. No, Jesus said, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe. So when we pray, we got to believe when we're praying the prayer of faith. You got to believe before you see it. You got to believe it before you feel it. You got to believe before you can see it in your bank account. You got to believe it first. Now notice what he said. He said, believe it and you receive them and what? You shall have them. The word shall. The word shall is the strongest word in the English language. And it says, it must happen. It has to happen. It has to happen. Well, what is faith? Faith is believing God. It's believing that God told us the truth. And if Jesus said we could speak to the mountain, if we could speak to problems, if we could pray, because verse 23 is talking about speaking to the problem. Verse 24 is talking about praying. If I could believe I got it, he said, you'll have it. Things will change in your life. Things will change in your life. But remember, don't try to be applying that to somebody else. It's what you desire. It's what you want. Not what you want for somebody else. It's what you want. Now, we may have children and we pray for them. We pray that they'll have wisdom. We'll pray that they'll have good friends. We'll pray that God will place people in their path to affect them. There's certain ways we can pray. But this is talking about the prayer of faith. There's different kinds of prayer. But this is the prayer of faith. So look with me, if you would, into Proverbs. Look in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. Proverbs 3. And remember, we're talking about what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? What is it that you want? Somebody comes to you. If I come to you next Sunday and say, what do you believe in God for? Or is it going to come out of you because you've spent time? Are you going to be able to say, this is what I'm believing God for? I'm believing God for this. I'm believing God for this. I'm believing God for this. So next Sunday, I'm going to ask you what you believe in God for. I'm going to ask you, what do you believe in God for? What are you stretching your faith for? Proverbs 3, verse 5 and verse 6. Proverbs 3 is a very interesting chapter of the book of Proverbs, because the book of Proverbs 3 is like, if you do this, 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 and this, this is going to be the result. And if you'll do this, this will be the result. If you'll do this, this will be the result. And you read through there, and he keeps talking about, do this, and this will be the result. In other words, a lot of times we like results. How many of you like results? But you don't like doing what it takes. How many of you like a clean house? But how many of you know it takes work to clean the house? How many of you like a clean car? It takes work to clean the car. In other words, you can't just have the clean car without doing the work. A lot of times in Christianity, we're looking to have the results, but we don't want to do what it takes. So I said, well, that's works. Why does the Bible tell us to do things then? You're not saved by your works, but yet the Bible teaches us there's going to be corresponding actions. So in Proverbs 3, notice this in verse 5 and in verse 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. We were singing about that this morning. Trusting in God. Trust in the Lord. Don't trust in man. We're not trusting man. Not trusting man. Say, well, you know, I'm just trusting my employer's going to give me a raise. No, you don't trust your employer. You're trusting God. Because your employer will look at it and say, there's no way. But God said, I'll make a way where there seems to be no way. But, well, you know, I'm trusting my teacher. I'm going to get good grades. I'm not trusting my teacher. I'm trusting God. But I have to apply myself. I can't just believe God for better grades and don't study. I'm going to study, and I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to retain the information on the inside of me, that when I come to the test, the information is there. Hallelujah. Trusting God for things, believing God for things. I said, well, you know, God's too busy for that. You don't understand your God. Well, God's too busy. You don't understand God then. Because if he's too busy today, he'll be too busy tomorrow. And he'll be too busy the next day. And somebody said, well, that's such a small thing, it doesn't matter. Well, who's going to determine what a small thing and a big thing is? Notice what it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord. And notice what it says there, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Don't lean to your understanding. Don't lean to your understanding. There was a man who, it was said about this man that he never made a bad business deal. He never made a bad business deal. And somebody asked him, said, How in the world could you never make a bad business deal? He said, every time there was an opportunity for me to invest money, he said, I'd always pray about it. He said, I'd pray. And he said, there was some people that came to me with the goofiest idea. He said, it was so goofy. He said, everybody said, there's no way it'll work. But he said, I prayed, and the Spirit of God said, invest. And he said, that thing would just turn around and start making money. And he said, sometimes people would come to me, and he said, boy, to my mind, it looked like this is really going to work. This is really good. He said, but I'd pray about it. He actually had what he called his prayer closet. He said, I'd get in there, I'd shut myself away, and I'd begin to pray. And he said, well, that situation looked like it's good. He said, the Spirit of God would speak to me and say, don't do it. Don't do it. Now, how many of us have ever had something like that, that the Spirit of God on the inside of us said, don't do it, don't do it. Now, you may not have known it was the Spirit of God. You might have said, I don't know, but something on the inside of me told me, don't do that, don't go there, don't get in this car, don't do that, don't go over there, don't spend that. And we knew it on the inside of us, but we went ahead and did it. How many of us would ever say, yep, I knew it. But thank God, I told you this morning, God's a God of mercy. And God's faithful. We may have missed it before, but we're not going to miss it again. Amen. So he said here, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. And notice this. Remember I said there's a progression and then there's a result. In all your ways acknowledge him. He will direct your path. So how many of you want God to direct your path? Well, what do we have to do? You got to trust the Lord. You got something on the inside says don't do it, then don't do it. Trust the Lord. People have asked me, how do you know that's not right? I said, I just know it's not right. Something on the inside says it's not right. Well, how do you know it? I don't know. If you're not careful, people will talk you out of knowing what the Holy Ghost told you to do. Because they'll try to explain it away. Well, how do you know? Well, how do you know that's just not you? It says, if you want God to direct your path, you got to trust him with all your heart. You do not lean to your own understanding. In other words, the Spirit of God says don't do it, then you don't do it. Don't go that way. Don't lean to your understanding because you'll talk yourself out of it. And then it says there, in all your ways acknowledge him. In all your ways acknowledge him. And he will direct your path. So I want to give you 9 things that I'd like for you to do between now and next week. And we're going to practice this throughout the year. 9 things I want you to do. The first thing is very simple. I want you to spend time with God in prayer. I want you to seek God about what his plan is for you. I want you to seek God during this week. And it doesn't have to be hour upon hour. But just as you casually think about it in your prayer time, or you're there maybe shaving or brushing your teeth or combing your hair, you just start thinking about the Lord and say, Lord, what is it you want me to do? What do you want me to do? What is it you want me to do? Somebody said to me several years back, they said, you really believe that God's got a plan for every one of us? And I said, yes, I do. I believe God's got a plan for us. I think that the Bible tells us, and I know that the Bible tells us in Romans 12 that there's the good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. There's some things that are all right. There's some things that are the perfect will of God. There's some things that God really wants to accomplish in all of our lives. So I want you to pray, and I want you to seek the Lord about what his plan is for your life. The second thing is, I want you to find scriptures that affirm what you're picking up in the realm of the Spirit. Maybe it's concerning healing. Maybe you're struggling with healing and the Lord's speaking to you as you wait on him. Son or daughter, don't you know that the Word of God says that by the stripes of Jesus you're healed? You may be believing God for prosperity. You may be believing God for just peace in your life. You may be believing God for freedom from fear. This world is so inundated with fear. Fear. I call it fear-mongering. Find scriptures that affirm what you're believing God for, what your desire is. I want you to meditate, 3. Meditate on those scriptures. So we spend time with God in prayer. We find scriptures. Now we're going to meditate on the scriptures. Notice I haven't really talked about believing God for what you're believing God for yet. I want you to meditate on those scriptures. Get those scriptures going around on the inside of you. You got scriptures, you're believing God for something. Get those scriptures and meditate them. What is meditate? Meditate is talk about them. How many of you ever gone to the store and you're talking to yourself? I got to get this, I got to get that. And Earlene will send me to the store and she'll send me with a list. And I don't know, I always come home with more than's on the list. She said, just get what's on the list, nothing else. Doesn't happen. Whether that's on purpose or not, I don't get asked to go to the store very often. But we go and we talk to ourselves. That's meditation. It's thinking about. How many of you ever sit in a chair just thinking about life? Just sitting there, just thinking. That's, you're meditating. Someone said, meditate. We do it all the time. The Bible teaches it. Joshua 1, the Bible talks about meditating. Now then, we've prayed, we've sought God. We've got some things written down. We found some scriptures. We're meditating the scriptures. We're thinking about what the scripture says. We're thinking about what we desire. Now we're going to pray. That's the fourth thing. We're going to pray. According to Mark 11:24, and as we pray, we're going to believe it, I receive. I believe I got it in Jesus' name. I believe I got it. Well, if I believe that I got it, then I don't have to ask for it again. If I believe I received it, if I believe I've got it, then I don't have to ask for it again. Now remember, we're talking about the prayer of faith, and there's many other realms of prayer. But this is something where you're desiring, you're believing God for a very specific thing. So we get that from God, get the direction, we get the scripture, we meditate the scripture, now we're going to pray, and now we're going to believe. Father, right now in Jesus' name, let's say we're believing God for healing. Father, the Word of God says in 1 Peter 2:24, that by the stripes of Jesus I was healed. So, Father, I just want to thank you right now. I believe I received the healing for my body. I believe I've got it now in Jesus' name. Now, remember, he said you got to believe it before you receive it. You get through praying and your body may be looking the same. What's the next step? What is number five? You start praising God for the answer. Father, I just thank you. Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you. Now, let me just let you into a little secret. Many times when you're believing God for something, things get worse. How many of you, something's got worse before? Something's got worse. I use this testimony because it makes it real, real simple. I had a growth on my hand. It was there. Didn't bother me too much, but my mom looked at it one day. My mom said, "That's ugly." Well, you know, when mom says something, you know, we pop to attention. And she said, "You know, you need to go get that thing cut off." Well, I came back here. That time my parents lived out of town, I came back here. I'm thinking, it does not look very good. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm standing right here. There used to be a pulpit right here. Had oil in it. I got that oil. I anointed myself. I laid my hand on there and I said, right now in the name of Jesus, I curse this thing from the root. I command you to wither. I command you to die. I command fresh new skin to come in Jesus' name. I command this. And so, Father, I receive it. And so I just thank you for it. And I begin to thank God for it. And I thank God. And every day I thank God. Father, I just thank you in Jesus' name. That thing's cursed from the root. I thank you, Father God. There's going to be fresh new skin. I've said in this prayer, I said there'll be no scar. There'll be nothing. Nothing's going to happen like that. It'll be fresh new skin. And, you know, a couple days of doing that, I looked down and that thing looked worse than it looked when I started. Worse. Started turning a little gray, a little ugly. But I just kept on, and I kept on, and I just did it every day, every day, every day, every day. And it came to a point that I stopped looking at it, and I stopped looking at it. Father, I just thank you in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. I looked down there one day, and it was all gone. And fresh new skin. Couldn't tell where it was at. But that's exactly what I'd prayed. And I stuck with it. Sometimes we don't stick with it. Sometimes, you know, you look at it and it looks worse. We start saying, "Oh my, it's worse." No, those words never came out of my mouth. I said, "I believe I got it in Jesus' name. I got it when I prayed in Jesus' name." So number five, we praise God for the answer. Number six, we don't ask again. But rather, we keep praising God. Number seven, we keep feeding on the scripture. We keep feeding on the scripture we're standing on. I'm believing God, 1 Peter 2:24, so I keep looking at that verse. I keep looking at it. I may have other verses, but I keep looking at the verse that I'm standing on. I keep letting that going over. Maybe it's financial realm. And you're saying, Father, I thank you that you said you supply my need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He didn't say he'd supply your need based upon the economy. He said he would supply your need based upon his kingdom, kingdom principles. I have set kingdom principles into operation. I have given, I have sowed, I have given my tithe. And I thank you, Father, whatever you're believing God for. So we keep feeding on the scripture. Number 8, I keep praising God for the answer. Every day I say, Father, I just thank you in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. Many times, some of you know, I like to walk at night. I've got a dog. I walk the dog at night, and I'll be out in the street walking my dog. Now, I'm not doing it just because I want to. I'm saying, Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. Mark 11:23 says, speak to the mountain. I'm speaking to the mountain. I'm commanding supernatural finances to come in. I say that building will be built debt-free in Jesus' name. I'm thanking you, Father God, for 300 faithful partners, faithful to attend, faithful to serve, faithful to give, and I just thank you for it. In all those days, I'm just saying, Father, I just thank you for it. I'm not praying that prayer again. I'm just saying, thank you for it. 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 So you may find yourself in a different situation, somewhere where you just find yourself that you can just for a little bit just say, Father, I just thank you. I just thank you for it. I thank you for it. Thank you for it. And then the last one, number 9, is testify of what God's done for you. Tell somebody about what God's done. Tell somebody. The woman at the well in John 4 could only tell what Jesus did. Your greatest testimony is what Jesus has done for you. Sometimes we talk about somebody else's testimony. Well, Jesus did this for somebody else, and that's good. But people want to hear what God has done for you. What has God done in your life? What answers to prayer have you had? So for 2022, what do you want? What are you expecting? Are you just que sera, sera, whatever will be. Is that what you're expecting? Are you expecting great and mighty things? I want you to stretch your faith. Somebody said, I don't need anything. Well, start believing God for more finances to sow in the kingdom of God. Well, I don't need anything. Believe God for more finances to sow into missions. Hallelujah. Our Sunday school classes, many of them, they give to missions. Little kids are bringing their offering, and we'll send checks to missionaries. Believe in God. Hallelujah. There's missionaries on that back tree. We're believing God that they're going to prosper. We're believing God for this church to prosper. I'm believing God for you to prosper. But you got to get in agreement with it. I can't override your will. But I'm believing God for that. And you get in line with it, and you will see it in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to Connecting with the Word. You can stay connected with us at wordfellowship.org or by following us on Instagram and Facebook. Our mission at the Word Fellowship is simple. It's that people will grow into the image of Jesus through the uncompromised Word of God being taught. If you're in the Kennedy area, we would love to have you join us this weekend. You can check out wordfellowship.org for location and service times. We hope to see you soon.